Just a handful of popcorn. No big deal. Did they actually run that?
Yes.
Was that the promo?
Times. Yeah, that was the promo.
It ran during the Ram game?
It ran, at least ran during today, all day today.
Excellent. Okay, good. I'm glad. Because that's, to me, that's real radio. That's like who we really, that's what the show's all about, is who we really are. You know what I'm saying?
Real talk.
Somebody's got that slogan, don't they? Real talk. Is that like a KFI thing? Something like that.
Dodgers talk. Real Lakers talk.
Exactly.
Yeah, the team that doesn't have the contract always says that about the other stadium.
Hey!
That's how it works. So
yeah.
If you have the contract, you have to kind of shill it up a little bit.
Although, I'll be honest with you, I try to do real talk no matter what. I try to do some real Lakers talk after that crap last night. How about my Rams?
I can't imagine anybody who doesn't think the Rams now are a Super Bowl team. And I turned on Marcellus Wiley's TV show today.
Oh, was he discounting them?
Yeah. So they are a Super Bowl team. Until the fourth quarter, we didn't even think they would beat Seattle. Who does he think's going to the Super Bowl from the NFC? I mean, I guess you could put all your eggs in the Green Bay basket, but it's not like the Green Bay Packers destroyed the Rams when they played.
You know what I took from that?
Green Bay lost 38-3 to the Saints.
Marcellus has a TV show?
Yeah.
I just thought he retired.
No, he's getting paid a lot of money, too.
Oh, good for him. Good for him. No, we love Marcellus. So the one thing I'll say, Bergman called me up today. I've not done – so it's the last show before Christmas. And by the way, me and Ireland are both on Monday and Tuesday now. So we are officially back.
Yeah, that's right. The Lakers, Michael and I, the Lakers decided yesterday that we're not going on the next road trip. We're going to do those games from a studio in L.A. so I can do the show.
Yeah,
but I may have an offer for you.
Okay.
Bergman, what are the current mythical money standings after last night?
Oh, it's not good for me.
I don't care about you.
I know you don't, but I do. In first place, Jorge Briones with $224,000.
So Jorge passed me.
Yes. You, John.
Against the Lakers last
night. He did.
Won.
Huh. He put it all. Yes. And so, Ireland, you have $219,000. I have $137,000. Lost a lot of money. And Mason has zero.
Zero.
All right, Mace, I have an offer for you.
Do I have to shave something off?
Nope.
Shave my head?
Nope.
Anything
it's
like that?
It's completely reasonable.
Got it.
Here's the. I'm at 224, Greg.
219.
I'm at 219, and Jorge's at 224.
Every argument today? How about that? Let you win every
argument. I'm going to find out how much you really care or want to win Mythical Money right now.
Oh boy, here we go.
I will give you $19,000 of my Mythical Money, putting you back in the game. The game ends next Tuesday, so you would have $19,000 to parlay this weekend and maybe pull off the greatest upset of all time.
Can you imagine?
I told Bergman I was last place most of the year. I said, I'm going to sneak up and win this thing. He didn't believe me.
Sure enough.
But, Mason?
Yep.
In exchange for the $19,000.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
You do the show tomorrow.
What?
You and I together do the show tomorrow.
Nah, I got to go see Mom.
Your mom will still be there on Friday. Tomorrow's the 23rd.
Got to go see Mom. Not doing the show tomorrow. Got to go see Mom.
See, that tells you where his priorities are.
Well, believe me, my mom ranks higher than Mythical Money.
See, mine, I'm not so sure.
Oh, come on. The lovely Myrna.
If Myrna needed something, I would do the show from Kearney Del Mar.
Hey, John, how much are you offering him?
The show. Go ahead.
I'm offering him 19, so I would be at 200. You want to pat it, Jorge?
I'll double. Yeah, yeah.
You'll offer him. Okay, so you'll offer him 38.
No, I'll.
You'll go to 200 with me. You'll offer him 24.
No. I'll go another 19, like you.
Okay. So Mace now 38 grand, a legitimate chance to steal it if you
Bergman,
do the show.
What are you going to chip in?
I'm going to give you nothing because I'm very far behind. Actually, I'll give you $2,000. So I'm at 135.
40k.
An even 40k.
That is a nice nest egg to make a comeback right there.
Okay, I'm going to mull that over. No. There was a second there where did you hear the mulling? There was like a second of mull, and then no.
All right, Mace, how about this?
Oh boy,
I give you $100,000 of my mythical
money.
On top of my two and Jorge's 19.
Why would you give away that much of your money? Who are you supposed to be working with
tomorrow? I don't even know.
You're Momo. You're trying to Momo. You. You're willing to pay $100,000.
No, I put. What I'm doing is putting you into an uncomfortable spot, which makes for good radio. So, there it is. Oh.
Not only would you be at $121,000, you would be at $137. I'm at 137.
I'm getting a call from the banker. Even 125, he says. Even 125. If you do the show tomorrow,
you're giving him
exactly.
Oh, wait, he's going wait up.
It's 121. If he goes with what we gave him, it's 121. I'll up it to 125 total. Okay. So I'll add another 4,000.
Yeah, another 4,000.
Why
yeah.
are you so desperate for me to work tomorrow?
We're not, because we know that you, at heart, you're the laziest person at the station. You work the fewest days out
my
of the
ass.
Year.
My ass! I've missed exactly six
this,
shows since
this
August.
Is the crux of everything. See, it's you who value time off more than anyone versus you and your competitiveness. It puts you at a crossroads.
I'm really torn.
All right, you don't have to decide now. You have to decide before the end of the show.
Okay.
All right, I'll do this.
Oh, boy.
I'll give you another 5K. Pop it up to 130, and you and I will be even in Mythical Money standing.
Wow!
Ooh. Oh, man.
Okay, you get to the end of the show. You don't have to decide right now.
That offer expires at 110.
Man, that is so
1:10 p.m. it expires.
All right, can I ask a serious question?
Yes!
Why isn't, and I'm dead serious about this, okay?
I know what you're going to ask. You want to bet I know what you ask?
Well, I sent it to you in an email. Of course you know what I'm going to ask.
I didn't even read your email. I did no prep for today's show.
Wait a minute.
I did.
Why am I sending
email?
An email if you're not reading? I'm not
normally
sending one tomorrow.
I do. Today, I was tired from the game, so
right.
I didn't.
You just lost the email for tomorrow. I'm not sending it. But okay. Here, because I know you're going to work at the end of the day. tell me why Cooper Kupp is not being talked about as the most valuable player in the National Football League. All right? He is, I mean... These numbers are Wayne Gretzky-esque. Isn't the MVP basically for the guy who was the most valuable player for that season? Whatever you did before doesn't matter. It what you do is you take, what have they played now? 14 games, 15 games?
14 games.
You take the 14 games and you consider his body of work. All right, Aaron Rodgers, who everybody says is the leading candidate to win the MVP, or Tom Brady, those guys have both had bad games.
Yes.
Not only has Cooper Kupp never had a bad game, he is so statistically dominated that he's basically Wayne Gretzky this year. He has more receptions, more yards, and more touchdowns than any other player.
10 straight with 90-plus. Nobody has ever done that.
He's also, Cooper Kupp is also... in the running to become the fourth guy ever to do the Triple Crown, to win those three, and he's got a shot to break the all-time receiving yards record. If he does any of those things, why isn't he in? Have you heard him being discussed as an MVP candidate by any of the national talking heads?
I want to point out that as recently as yesterday, you were suggesting that you would want Davante Adams over Cooper Kupp.
Still would. If I was drafting wide receivers...
even though Cooper Kupp is going to break
I think I would.
Well,
take,
how can he be the MVP if he's not your first choice at wide receiver?
Well, wait a minute. I would take Giannis probably ahead of all other NBA players, and he's not ahead of Jokic for the MVP this year. Well, Cooper Kupp could be. What I'm saying is Cooper Kupp should be recognized for the extraordinary season he's having, and no one in the NFL, including Davante Adams or DeAndre Hopkins, both who I would take before him if I was building a team, neither one of those guys has had the year that Cooper Kupp has. Cooper Kupp's year, and last night was another example of it, they can't guard him. I don't know how he's doing it.
Yeah.
He's not the biggest guy. He's not the fastest guy, but he's putting up staggering statistical numbers that should not be ignored. I think the guy should get MVP votes.
Yeah, some really smart football I mean, everybody says he runs perfect routes. He runs perfect routes.
I suggested to Bergman today, but maybe he didn't read the email either, that we should get somebody national on like Peter King or Rich Eisen or somebody that controls the national debate.
Andrew Siciliano.
And explain to me why Cooper Kupp isn't at the top of the list whenever MVP gets talked about. Whenever I hear MVP get talked about, you hear Micah Parsons should be considered in Dallas. If Micah Parsons should be considered, why not Cooper Kupp? And why isn't Cooper Kupp right there with Brady and Rodgers just because he isn't a quarterback.
Although, don't you think if I had an MVP vote right now, I would vote for Jonathan Taylor?
You could. That's a good argument. But
I don't know where Indy would be without him. You know, I think that one of the things Cooper Kupp has got the ability to do, and this is true with Jared Goff too, he's got an unbelievable ability to meld, to build rapport, to get a sixth sense for a particular quarterback. He had it with Jared Goff. He's got it with Matthew Stafford. I just imagine, I have no idea. I would imagine they were throwing all summer long to each other.
I don't know if you could tell in the building. They did a lot of breakdown on TV about it. But okay. Kupp's second touchdown pass.
Was that the one that was the laser down low?
It was in the middle of the field. At the time
Stafford threw
it, he threw him open. At the time Stafford threw it, Cooper Kupp was well covered, double covered by two different Seahawks.
That was also a hell of a throw. That was I saw the
and
replay
Stafford
of that. That
just,
was a super tight window.
There was nobody in the middle of the field, so had Kupp not run to catch it, it would have been incomplete. But he basically just said, I'm going to throw a dart down the middle of the field and see if Kupp can go break away from the coverage he's in and catch it. And he did.
Yeah.
And it broke the game open. I think the Rams are right where they need to be. Now, what I'm a little worried about is they've got to play Sunday morning, 10 o'clock in Minnesota.
Yeah, early window in Minnesota. And Minnesota's playing for something.
And Minnesota's one of the few teams I think that McVay has actually lost to on the road since he's been the head coach of the Rams. They lost a very close game there a few years ago when McVay was coaching them. And I think that's right. I could be wrong. That may have been in the Jeff Fisher. I can't remember. But there was a game, a very close game, like a one-point win for the Vikings over the Rams in Minnesota. I think the last time they had to play there. So I'm a little worried about them going into Minnesota in an important game. And also, Minnesota's receivers have been having a really big year. I mean, Justin Jefferson's been great.
The two of them,
Adam Thielen's been great.
Yeah.
They've even gotten some good performances from
the
guys.
Hey, Bergman, did you read John's email today?
I did read John's email. I even responded to it today.
Did you get Peter King or Rich Eisen on?
So Peter King is the number that I have got returned back to
me. He changed his number?
He changed his number, yeah.
On you.
Yeah,
he blocked you.
Probably blocked me.
He blocked you.
Yeah, pretty much.
And Rich Eisen?
Rich Eisen, I think Rich Eisen is on right now.
No, he's on in the morning.
Oh, he's probably done right now. No, I don't have Rich Eisen's number anyway.
Well, Rich gets done at noon, I think. I think he comes on.
So here's a weird Rich Eisen story.
You want Andrew Siciliano?
Yeah, call Andrew. Yeah, call Andrew. So here's a weird Rich Eisen story. So I was leaving the Super Bowl in Atlanta after the Rams lost to the Patriots, and I was very, very bitter. And Rich Eisen was on the same flight as me. It was a super late flight from Atlanta to Los Angeles because I wanted to be on the next day. And Eisen keeps staring at me, like laser beam staring at me. And he says to me, Coach Martz, how you been?
Oh, he thought you were Mike Martz.
He thought I was Mike Martz.
Well, you must have had your gray hair at that point.
I did. I had my silver hair, and he thought I was Mike Martz. He was certain I was Mike Martz. So I told him, Rich, I know you. It's Steve Mason.
Oh, see, I would have totally run with the Mike Martz thing.
Oh, you would have drawn up a play.
That would have been a much better story.
Here's like how you get into this point.
When people recognize me at Staples Center by a name other than mine, I totally run with it.
Like who recognizes you by a name other than yours?
Oh, all the time people say, hey, Trudell. Hey,
no, they
Billy,
think you're Mike Trudell.
Hey, Billy Mack. How you doing? Oh, swear to God. It happens
Billy
to all
Mack's
of
got better Mace. Hair than you. Mike Trudell is half your size.
Yeah, but Mace, one time somebody said, hey, Jim Hill.
No.
Swear to God.
You got mistaken for Jim Hill?
That was the biggest, nicest compliment I've ever received.
How the hell could somebody mistake you for Jim Hill? Is that the lie of the day?
They see somebody and they say, that's that guy on TV. I know him. You're
Jim Hill.
Jim Hill. I'm like,
I don't know anybody who would do that.
Neither do I. And it
How
happened.
Could somebody mistake you for Jim Hill?
I don't know, but people are dumb.
That's a lie of the day.
Well, I don't think we have lie of the day. We're not giving anything away.
Let's do lie of the day.
Well, I can tell you that's not it. That actually happened.
Okay. So here's what we got for lie of the day is two fine pieces of wardrobe. It is a Vote for Jorge t-shirt and a Mason and Ireland t-shirt.
Those things are back?
both.
You know, I do not own either one of those.
Oh, really?
True.
I own both.
Not. Maybe I should try and win.
I'm going to wear my Vote for Jorge shirt to Midnight Mass.
Should we create a Don't Vote for Laura t-shirt?
Nah, not worth it.
Negative campaigning, but
everyone want to go that negative. We've already got Maite.
She went negative. Don't vote for Laura.
Don't vote for Laura. Maite. Let's make the baby say things.
We already
the
have.
Can we get Maite to say other things?
Yeah. Well, it depends what they are.
Well, I mean, nothing inappropriate, but we can get her take on, like Cooper Kupp for MVP.
Yeah, she can do stuff like that.
Like Anthony Davis is Mr. Glass.
I'll record it tomorrow that? And well, I'll
no,
play what, it for you first thing.
Why would don't tell her to say that? Come on.
No.
Anthony Davis is Mr. Glass.
I'm going to tell her.
Everyone
I'm going
to know Samuel Jackson is Mr. Glass.
I'm going to tell her to say, "Hey, Cooper Kupp, welcome to Julio Diaz's world."
I don't think they get that.
You really got charged out of that, Jorge. Yeah. I didn't even understand it.
I don't get that.
He doesn't get enough credit. Urias doesn't either. Yeah.
Oh, I see. I see. All right. That was subtle. That was subtle for you, Jorge. All right. Coming up next for you. You know what? I said to Bergman, I said I wanted to take some calls today. I want to do Open Phones America. It's right before Christmas. We're going to.
By the way, when a radio host says Open Phones America, that means the guy did no prep.
Open Phones America. You know what? It's the day before Christmas. Or no,
it's, well,
no,
it's not.
Talking about.
No, it isn't.
Well, for me, it's the day before Christmas.
Not necessarily.
Oh, that's right. That's right. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. And by the way, there are all kinds of awards at the Mandy Awards. You can vote at 710awards.net. There's one that there should be an award for Drop of the Year. And we'll play that coming up next for you. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So last night I was at SoFi Stadium for the game, and Ireland.
Oh, wait a minute! I want to ask you something about that.
Yeah.
Honest answer.
Yep.
Percentage of fans wearing masks was what, roughly?
3%.
No, that bad.
Yeah.
Did you wear yours the whole time?
Yes, I did not take mine off even for a second. We didn't even eat last night.
But most of the fans around you, nada.
Nada. Yelling and a lot of people say oh, it's not an NFL town, all that. Last night was a genuine NFL crowd.
Well, the one thing I noticed about SoFi when I went a couple of weeks ago was it gets very loud. The acoustics in there are super loud, so I would imagine for a playoff game it's going to be just like
it was pretty bonkers last night. And they handed out those flags, and I don't know if you could tell, but everybody was waving their flag last night. It's a lot easier to wave a flag than it is to wave a towel. I find towel waving to be a difficult process. Don't you?
I don't know. I've never really done it.
Towel, a flag is just easy. It's just like back and forth. A towel, there's a certain torque you need to be able to swing a towel. I thought it was
but
much
that's
more
interesting
difficult.
That, so what that tells me is most people are paying zero attention to what's happening with the virus.
Yeah,
it's super contagious right now.
It is super contagious, yeah. I'm a little spooked by it. I'm not doing anything now between now and when I actually, whenever I go see my mom, whenever that is, the morning.
Ah, see, we got him thinking about it, Bergman.
The morning I do that, I've got one of them little rapid test things I'm going to do.
There is yesterday, I've been tested every day since the beginning of the Dallas trip.
Yep.
And yesterday, I wanted to get a test earlier than the Lakers were providing one.
Okay.
So I went to, there's a test center right around the, because the same day testing center right around the corner from where I live.
Got it.
It opens at 7:30.
Line?
I went over there at 7:35, right? You have to make an appointment and the earliest appointment I could make was for 4 in the afternoon. But if you pay and you get in the system, you can go walk in as long as you're willing to wait. 57 people in line at 7:35 yesterday morning. It went fast. I was out of there in less than an hour.
Yeah.
But that's how many people are getting. Because I think a lot of people are getting on planes, and a lot of flights require that you have a
negative COVID test.
Yeah, or, you know, especially if you don't have a booster. So I think maybe that had something to do with it. Yeah. But if you're thinking about going and getting a test, like before you go see your mom or before you get on a plane, allow more time.
Yeah.
It's going to take a little time.
So,
don't forget to bring a towel.
I don't even know what that was.
You never heard that before? Play it again.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
You were talking about towels. That was Towley from South Park. You never watched
that?
Oh,
right.
Man, we're 0-2 today, Greg.
Jeez,
yeah,
you're
got a lot of show left, though. Yeah, you know,
we'll go 0-7. Don't worry.
Yeah, it's not like you're Talen Horton Tucker going 1-13.
Talen Horton Tucker. What the hell? I mean, look, shooters got to shoot and all that stuff. And hey, don't be afraid to take the next shot. But he should have been afraid to take his next shot.
Well, you know, and him and Isaiah Thomas were both ice cold on the same night. Thomas was like
to go like 1-100.
Yeah, well, Thomas was 1-11, and THT was like 1-13. So that was one of the reasons why. You know, the game was close for a half.
Yeah, they were in it.
And then in the second half, those guys just couldn't make a shot.
Yeah. You want to take some calls? Let's do some calls.
Why not?
Yeah.
Mike in Orange. Hey, Mike, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, good day, guys. I just wanted to call. I won the lie of the day and went to the game last night, and it was amazing. I just wanted to call and thank you guys.
Was that your first time at SoFi?
Yes, it was. It was great.
Is that not the craziest? I mean, the stadium itself, how would you describe the stadium itself, the stadium experience being inside it?
Oh, it's like nothing I've ever experienced. That I think it's just great. It's amazing.
What I always say, Mike, is you really can't describe it to somebody who's never been there before. Now that you've been there, you can appreciate it's so much bigger and better than any stadium I've ever been in that, Mace, it defies description in a way, don't you think?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think it's kind of impossible to oversell because there's just never been anything like it. I mean, that scoreboard alone, I guess they call it the infinity board. The infinity board alone is just, I mean, that's like science fiction.
When they were building it, we had Kevin Demoff on, Mike, and he was telling us that one of the things they modeled it after was the new U.S. Bank Stadium in Minnesota. I've been to that stadium. That is a tremendous stadium. That thing's got a big scoreboard. It's got great sight lines. It's just really nice. They did a really good job with it. This makes that look like a bathroom. I mean, that's how big SoFi is. SoFi is almost defies description. Yeah. And you know, because people tend to steer negative, I mean, it's true the food's not great. It's true they haven't.
By the way, I don't get the food's not great.
What do you
expect from ballpark food?
Options.
Like, I go there, I get a hot dog, I get some popcorn, I get some peanuts, I get some soda, I get some beer.
Yeah.
What else do you want?
I want sushi options.
And,
yeah.
I mean, you're like one of those guys, you want sushi.
I want
and
options.
Like a Taco
I want 25 different things from a stadium built in 2020. But that what I'm saying is because people tend to dwell on stuff like that, it takes away from the fact that there's never been a stadium like this ever built. Just there hasn't anywhere in the world. And so, Mike, I'm glad you got to go. That's awesome.
Yeah, cool, Mike. Cool, Mike. Yeah, I mean, it was a fun night. It was a really fun night. I was worried about that game. 3-3 at halftime because the Rams blew opportunities early in that game. Stafford did throw that interception I think it was OBJ was the intended receiver.
Yeah, he just didn't see that guy. But you know what? He took a couple of sacks, and for the most part, he's gotten better with turning the ball over. He's not like I mentioned, the touchdown pass to Cooper Kupp. Had Kupp not run underneath that would have been an incomplete pass. The interceptions he was throwing earlier in the season, he was just putting up for grabs. Stafford has been really, really good the last three games. Just really good. Can't complain about him at all. And then even last night, Mace, you were there on a night the offense really wasn't clicking.
No, was not clicking at all. And I went back and looked at it. I mean, in the moment, and I know who I'm rooting for. In a moment, that Ernest Jones play, I mean, it was clearly pass interference.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. So I don't know what the Rams did to get kicked in the ass with a golden horseshoe, but those two pass interference calls are going to be like the poster board for why they should allow replay. I mean,
when first, you say two, which ones are you talking about?
No, the one in New Orleans at the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
That was bad. Last night was almost as bad. I mean, that defender never turned around.
Obviously, I smacked his ass. You feel me? Put that boy on a house frying pan.
Now, what I will say is, Nickell Robey-Coleman, the difference is Drew Brees was basically going in for the win in New Orleans. That they were going to put the game away. Last night, even if they call pass interference on that fourth down play, the Seahawks still would have had to go 50 yards and score a touchdown. It just would have given them more life. That's why the Saints PI.
The Rams still held the lead at
right,
that point.
And the Saints PI was more egregious because it was an NFC Championship game and the Saints were going to put the game away. Last night was a bad call. It's just that what is it with the Rams and these pass interference calls? They've gotten two nationally televised ridiculous breaks.
Yeah, Ernest Jones, that was definitely PI. But I'll take it.
Why shouldn't that be reviewable?
Because they tried that 2 years ago and it didn't work. It was ridiculous.
Well, it just slowed the game down more, which we hate.
Yeah, we hate that. I mean, call it on the field. That's my slogan. Call it on the court. Call it on the field. Instant replay. I thought you came around to my side on this.
But I'm thinking that what my thought is, if you are going to allow replay, all right, in any form, then just make everything reviewable.
But isn't that just a pure judgment call?
No, if that would have gone to a review official, he would have called pass interference. I mean, you and I are Rams fans, and we thought it was pass interference. I mean,
in the moment, I thought, yeah, Ernest Jones.
Well, and then the Seahawks were so frustrated, one of their defensive guys kicked the ball, and they gave him 15 yards for a penalty, and the Rams went right down the field.
Yeah, yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you obviously you'll take it. I mean,
take it any way I can get it.
Right. Any team would take it, but here's the thing. If you said to me, hey, Ireland, there's a bill on the table that would eliminate replay from sports. Just
yes,
eliminate
you would
completely.
Sign on.
I would sign on. But as long as you're going to have it and you're going to limit the amount of times a coach can use it, like what do they get? One or two of throwing that replay?
One
flag.
Challenge.
All right. I think in the NBA, you get one. In the NFL, I think you get one. But everything's reviewable. There's no such thing as a judgment call or the blitz of death. Everything's reviewable. And the replay official is allowed to use common sense.
Yeah, they get one challenge first half, one challenge second half.
Two, then, total.
Yeah, total of two.
Right, but just make everything reviewable, as long as you're going to have it. But to answer your point as to why I sound like I'm flip-flopping here, I do agree with you that replay's gotten out of control and I would kill it. But if you're going to have it, let everything be reviewable.
Yeah, I just it grinds the game to such a halt.
Totally agree. And they rarely get it
right.
And
a lot of those, by the way, a lot of those, now this happened to be a particularly egregious one when I went back and looked at it. Most of them are like, maybe not.
Yeah, like in the NBA, they hardly ever overturn them. But there's a lot of times they should.
Yeah. All right, 877-710-ESPN, drop of the year. We'll do that coming up for you. And also, Wheel of Questions is coming up. In the meantime.
Is it my wheel or your wheel today?
I'll take the wheel.
Okay.
Mason, Ireland, 710-ESPN. So I'm a little bit worried because, you know, we recorded promos that will run during the holidays, like in the middle of the night, you'll hear
right.
One of us do.
Yeah.
And I sang Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire in mine, and now I'm worried that people are going to get really sick of hearing Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire.
I never get sick of Christmas music.
What did you do? You told a story about losing your luggage, didn't you?
Yeah, it was awful. So when I was a kid, I got an ABA basketball, one of those really cool red, white, and blue basketballs.
It was like
the only thing I really wanted for Christmas. I was 10 or 11. And so we were in Pennsylvania at my mom's parents' house, my grandparents' house. And we spent Christmas there, so we put all the Christmas presents that we got in a box and checked it.
Yep.
Checked the box because, you know, that way, you know, we could get everything home. And they lost the box.
Oh.
And I lost my ABA basketball. I was very bitter for a lot of years.
That's your Christmas story.
That's my Christmas story. It still pisses me off.
So your Christmas promo thing is actually going to be negative. It's going to be a downer.
Well, I think the moral of the story was don't check your favorite Christmas present. Carry it on.
Yeah,
I should have carried on the ABA basketball.
Carry on your gifts.
Yeah, exactly.
Powerful holiday message from John Ireland.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of with Michael on these holiday messages. If you have to have me do one, I'll do one. But I think that
we got to fill up space, man.
Right. I think it can come across as
I'm
Michael
tired
says,
of Sliwa and Travis promos. They're everywhere. It's like a disease.
Michael's contention is that anytime you go on and you're overly effusive, like thanking listeners left, right, and sideways, or talking about how great your Christmas is when everybody else's Christmas might not be that. It all comes across as a little disingenuous. But, I mean, I'll do it if I have to.
Why is it
Michael, by the way, will not. Michael will not do anything like, hey, thanks for listening, or hey, Merry Christmas, or hey, which is weird because he's kind of an upbeat guy.
Why would you not thank people for listening?
Again,
I don't get, like, I've never understood this with you. Like,
right.
you made me stop saying thanks everybody for listening.
Well, I can't make
you
stop saying anything.
Well, but I mean, you scolded me.
Well, here's what I would say. And everyone that works at the station agrees with me, including Bergman and Jorge. Nice Mace is bad radio. The guy who doesn't thank listeners is good radio.
Agreed.
When you're more like Max or Howard Stern, when Edgy Mace is on the air, that's when the show's at its best. That's what I'll say.
He's right.
Can't you be both?
No.
No. You can't. You're
wanna
either
thank the people.
No, not really.
Yeah. By the way, is that the drop you were talking about?
Of course.
Should that
that's
be the
drop
of the year? Why?
We got so much mileage out of that.
What? I don't even know what else would be in the running.
Pura Yesca!
No, not that.
That's I think.
No,
that's
not
last
really.
Year's
would
drop
be it?
No, yeah. Not really.
You know, I think it's important that we revisit it because it's very topical right now. The actual exchange that led
yes,
to that
because your idea of going away from
drop.
Cooper Kupp really caught on after you suggested it. Cooper Kupp's about to break every receiving record known to man.
So let's – Jorge, do you have that? So Matthew Stafford has been obviously fantastic, and Cooper Kupp is leading the league in everything among receivers. Sometimes, at least to me, I'm no expert, man. You're the expert. But it feels like Stafford may be getting a little too cup reliant. Do you know what I mean?
No, not really.
No.
He is.
You know,
I think Robert got involved with 6 for 70 on 6 targets.
Yeah, big two-point conversion.
Hey, by the way, Bergman, we normally get McVay on Wednesdays. I assume we don't have him today because of the crazy Tuesday schedule and everything?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's a
no,
super
not
quick
really.
Turnaround. Yeah, no, not really. That's
damn
drop.
Right I am.
Yeah, McVay is great.
We can do, by the way, string them all together, Jorge. You did that, I think, last week when Ireland wasn't there, maybe. String them all together.
Start off by saying hi.
Hey, Coach.
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Good. Good.
You got to be me.
You got to keep asking questions, though, Mace.
Right, I got to answer the questions with the props. Come on now.
Do you feel like the team was sluggish last night?
No, not really.
Ireland, you ask a question.
I don't know what other drops we have.
Hey, are you confident about Sunday?
Oh, I am right, I am.
Yeah, you're two there, but that was it. You're
damn
right.
Oh, absolutely.
Right, yeah. So
let's get it.
All right, so Mace, what's left for the Rams? At Minnesota, they have
a game at Baltimore,
and then
San
they get
Francisco.
The Niners here, right?
Yeah. It's a tough schedule.
Yeah, that is tough.
Although Arizona is a tough schedule.
Right. I think Arizona loses to the Colts. They play the Colts on Christmas.
What about the Cowboys the following week?
I'd pick Dallas, wouldn't you?
Yep, me too. I think there's a case to be made that Arizona peaked too early. If that's a thing. Do you believe in that?
Yeah, sure. And as a matter of fact, they did it last year too. They got off to a good start last year and then kind of petered out.
Pittsburgh did that last year too. They started
right,
off really
hot.
They
were like 11-1 and then they
have you guys are we exchanging gifts? Did you get me anything, John?
No.
Really?
I don't think you and I ever have.
Cause I
no, not really.
If you guys are going to buy me something, I like hoodies.
Good to know.
XL hoodies and Vuori sweatpants.
Good to know.
Scott Kaplan introduced me to the Vuori sweatpants, well, and they are.
I get the feeling that Cap is like super dialed in and doesn't pay for much. I bet you he could get those for free.
Tell you what. Cap is super dialed in. We used
one time
to call
One time I broke my three wood and I mentioned it to Kaplan, and like within a week, a three wood arrived at my door.
Yeah, that's Kaplan. Kaplan's got everything wired.
Yeah, good for him.
Absolutely does everything wired. All right. Hey, we'll
on sorry, one second. On the subject of gifts, like yeah. I've never gotten gifts. Is it rude to not get you guys gifts? I've never gotten anything.
I don't expect anything, nor. I'll give you and Jorge money, but that's about
yeah,
it.
I want something.
You
any hoodie, mate?
So, yeah, does it matter what hoodie it is?
No, any hoodie.
What okay, okay, I'm getting you a Clippers hoodie.
All right,
Niners
hoodie. Ordering right now.
Raiders hoodie coming Niners. Down.
Yeah, we got it on tape. No, it does not matter.
Yeah.
I'm getting you a PG-13 bah, Chuck the Condor hoodie.
Ah, humbug.
No, oh, yeah. Chuck the Condor's face right on the front of the hoodie?
Heck
oh,
yeah.
With PG-13 on the
Steve
back?
Steve Ballmer hoodie. A big picture of Ballmer right on a hoodie.
I've got some lighter fluid and a match. That'll get some likes on Instagram. That's one of the things I'm going to try to do in 2022 as I reboot my life.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to do more stuff on Instagram because I've been really bad at doing stuff on Instagram this year.
Not me. I've been loading up the gram.
You are Captain Gram. All right,
I posted one thing on Instagram ever.
Did you? What
one
was it?
One post. And my niece made me. She goes, hey, you got a bunch of followers. I was water skiing yesterday, and I did a bunch of tricks. Will you put it on your Instagram? And I said, well, I have an Instagram, but I've never, ever posted anything.
And she wanted it anyway?
Yeah, so I did it. That's my. If you go to my Instagram, that's my one post. And it's like a really grainy video. It looks like the Zapruder film. But she's, you know, she's 12, and I thought, okay, I'll do it.
It's like the Zapruder film.
The Zapruder film of water skiing.
Yes. Yeah. All right, coming up next for you, Wheel of Questions. It's my question today, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Donde está Santa Claus? So we're going to do Wheel of Questions. It's our, well, we'll see if it's the last year. We'll see if it's the last year coming up. We'll see.
Well, no, we're working Monday and Tuesday, even if you don't work tomorrow.
Yeah, so it's not the last show of the year. It's just the last show before Christmas, potentially. And we'll spin the Wheel of Questions right now. It's presented by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you've got a car just sitting around not being used, bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. Give her a spin, Jorge. All these questions were my questions, and this. We'll see if anybody does actually answer this.
I guarantee you I will answer it.
We're all getting together for the holidays. We're all going to see family, all that stuff. Here's the question. Who is your least favorite relative?
Who is that's your good.
Least favorite relative?
Does it have to be by blood?
No.
No, I don't think so, because we all we have the families we choose. Sure, yeah.
Let's see. How my least favorite relative... Well, for the last couple of years, we haven't seen a lot of people at Christmas.
Yes.
So
you can talk about them.
Right. So who would I least? Do you have, Mason, do you have one that like stands out?
Oh, my God, yes.
Will you answer it?
Aunt Anna Mashonsky. My God, what a...
Now, how
person.
Is she related to you?
She is my dad's sister.
Okay.
And I won't even get on the phone with her. I just find her to be despicable. Like, I would never actually get together with Aunt Anna Mashonsky for the holidays in Altoona, Pennsylvania. No way. I always wonder, by the way, I talked about my my people in my family a little bit, and I always wonder if, like, back in Altoona, Pennsylvania, somebody's listening to the podcast and saying, I can't believe what Stevie said about Aunt Anna. But Aunt Anna, if you're listening, I don't like you one bit.
I don't have anybody I feel that way about.
I do.
You do, Greg?
I do.
Yeah, who is it?
Oh, see, I think I'll get in trouble. See, this is the difference between Mason and me right now. Mason has someone in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Mine is
in the
state. Yeah, in the, like, not far away. Definitely gets the channel. My dad's wife.
Oh, my God. That's a bold statement.
Oh. I'm going to stay there. That's the end of my...
You're
going to
see her.
No, I won't.
You will not see her?
You just never do?
No. That's not happening.
Okay. Is your dad's current wife or ex?
Yeah, current.
Wow, I think that's bold. Congratulations.
That is bold.
For speaking the truth.
I don't know if this, like, directly answers the question. I'll put it out there anyway. Every year for Christmas, my dad would make us call back to his family in Ireland.
Okay.
And my dad has three brothers, all right? Only one of them is still alive. But so my dad, John, was the oldest.
Okay.
And then it was Willie, Noel, and Robert. And four boys. So my dad would make my brother and I get on the phone and talk to our uncles, you know, to wish them a Merry Christmas.
Yes.
And Robert had, like, the heaviest...
Who's the living one or the one that's passed?
He just passed. He's the youngest, but just passed away recently.
Don't speak ill of the dead.
No, I won't speak ill of him.
Okay.
Because I liked him. He's a really good guy. But, Mace, it was like that one Brad Pitt movie where those guys had such heavy brogues that you couldn't understand what they were saying.
Yeah.
And Robert had, like, the heaviest brogue of them all.
So give an example.
Well, all I would say is, I'd say, hey, Robert, how are you? And I go, I don't know. And I look at my dad, and my dad finally whispered me, he goes, just say I. It means yes. And I go, and he goes, are you? And my dad, they call my dad Jackie. Are you and Jackie doing all right there? And I just go, I. And then he would ask another question. And I would go, I. And my dad would make me go through this ridiculous exercise. I would say for 10 years we did it.
So you needed subtitles to talk to your dad's brothers.
Yeah. Oh, I don't even know if that would have helped. I don't even think the person doing the subtitles would have been able
to figure it out.
Yeah.
All right. That's an acceptable answer. Yeah, Jorge, let's see how bold Jorge is.
No, I was thinking about it while you guys were talking about this, but no, not really. Like,
oh,
honestly.
Jorge.
Jorge loves everyone.
No, it's not even that. It's just, no, it's not even that.
Yeah, call him out for soft.
No.
Not soft. That.
I'm thinking about it, but no, there's nobody that I get along with everybody.
Come on, Jorge.
Really. I'm serious.
Not a single person in your family irritates you.
No.
What about in your wife's family on her side?
Oh, yeah. No. Like, see, I don't know. I like to do things, you know, if I do things with my family, we do things with her. Like, I keep things
you
separate.
Oh, exactly. You don't mix worlds. That's smart.
I really don't. So I don't have an answer for you guys.
Right, soft
sorry.
Answer. Soft.
All right. Tweet from Nick Simpson. Disgusting, John. You think that saying thank you to listeners who keep you on the air is offensive and considered poor radio. Let's all stop listening for a day and see where you are. Hashtag ungrateful.
That's what I'm talking about.
Nick,
ungrateful.
Nick, I can thank listeners. I just don't want Mason thanking listeners. Mason, I'm like generally default to nice, but Mason's funnier when he's mean. Like, Mace, the funniest thing you ever did was the Rob Novak on the plane story.
The Rob Novak on the plane story.
I laugh at that no matter how many times we tell it.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you've never heard it, it basically, Mason and I were on a plane once, and this guy that worked with us, who neither one of us could stand because he would just not stop talking, Mason was in the window seat. I was in the aisle seat. We were flying to Vegas for a Laker thing. And the middle seat was open. And I look at Mace. I go, oh, God, Novak's going to come sit here. And Mason goes, I got it. And the guy walks down the aisle. He goes, "Hey guys, only middle seats left. Do you mind?" And Mason goes, "Yes, I mind." He goes, "Seriously?" He goes, "Seriously. She's sitting there." And Mason points to this woman behind Rob.
Who rando, we have, some rando.
Yeah, we have never met and has never met us. And she goes, "Gee, thanks." Mason like clears out the chair. "Sit right down, young lady. Happy to have you here." And Novak was like crushed. And I would not stop laughing. Like I didn't have it in me to do that to him, but you do, and that's what we need more of on the air.
Starfish and Coffee, the Mason and Ireland Christmas show, has taken a sharp turn down Festivus Alley between the ABA basketball story and your least favorite relative. It's time for the airing of grievances.
Well, you know what he's talking about.
Oh, of course, the famous Festivus episode.
I just read a behind the scenes. It turns out that one of the writers, his dad actually came up with Festivus. And so when he wrote it, wasn't Melman, who you and I know, wasn't Peter Melman, it was a different guy, but somebody else had like an airing of grievances. His dad came up with Festivus, and they did it every year. And Larry David said, "That'd be really funny if we did that on the air." And that was the Seinfeld episode.
It's a classic.
Airing of grievances.
Nugget, the Rams have activated Rob Havenstein and
good.
Ogbonna Oronkwo. I can never say his name. Okoronkwo.
Is it? That's the linebacker, right? He's good.
Yeah, really good. And then defensive back Terrell Burgess off the COVID list. So with Havenstein back, the starters remaining on the list are only Tyler Higbee and safety Jordan Fuller. So they could be full strength by the time they go to Minnesota on Sunday morning.
Well, I read one report today. I'd have to do a little more research, but somebody said that there may be an Omicron vaccine that somebody has developed that might be able to kick this thing. So if that happened and they could mass produce it, we may be out of this in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Which would be great.
Oh, God. God, please help us. All right. Coming up next for you, John, I've been dodging sort of we love the night with the Rams. The night with the Rams was fantastic last night at SoFi Stadium. What I witnessed at the building with no name.
The Crypt?
It's not yet the Crypt.
One more night of Staples Center tomorrow night.
No, I heard it's not Staples Center. I heard it's just Center.
Well, I heard
the Staples Center contract ran out. Staples contract
well,
ran out.
Well, last night on the court, it still said Staples Center.
It did.
On the court. But I heard Sunday it will not say that anymore.
That's a freebie
or
for
Saturday.
The office supply store.
Yeah, Saturday it will not say that anymore, is what I'm told.
All right. So we'll talk about the Lakers coming in. I was just like such a it's time to get real about the Lakers. Somebody said their favorite part of the show is when I make you say positive things about the Lakers.
Well, it's getting harder.
Yeah,
the way things are going, but we'll see how it goes coming up.
All right, that's coming up next for you, Mason in Ireland. John is here. Jorge is here. Bergman's here. It is our Christmas spectacular. Today is the Christmas spectacular.
Unless you work tomorrow. And wait, Greg, what is the mythical money number up to that we're giving to Mason if he shows up for work tomorrow?
$130,000 mythical dollars. More than you started with.
Right now you have zero.
God, zero. That is hard.
All right, so before the end of the show, Mason has to decide if he's going to work and turn down $130,000 in mythical money, or it's just screw it, doesn't care, he's out of here.
All right, we'll do that coming up next for you, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.